Thanks, Curly. We are going to spend 4 weeks on these 11 verses. 4 weeks on these 11 verses. So what we're going to start out with this week is a general overview on temptation. What does it mean to be tempted? Who is tempting us? And how do we resist? And then for the next 3 weeks, we're going to spend week by week on each specific temptation that Jesus faced, and how Jesus fought that temptation, how he battled it, and how he emerged victorious over it.
When I was growing up, my mom used to say, "Get thee behind me, Satan, and don't push."
Oh, there we go. All right. Well, this week we're going to talk about a little lesson I'm going to call Temptation 101. We're going to take the entry-level course here on temptation and do a very quick biblical study, a very quick Bible understanding from this passage and from many other passages. What is temptation? What does it mean to be tempted? Look at that very first verse of Matthew 4. "Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil." First of all, in this entry-level course, let's talk about the characteristics of temptation. The characteristics of temptation. You know, there are certain things that we can generalize about temptation. There are certain things we can say, these are the nuts and bolts. These are the basics of what it means to be tempted. And we see it here in this passage in Matthew chapter 4. First of all, the who of temptation. The who. "Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil." The devil. The devil is always the who behind temptation. You can always say that. The devil, or his demons, those fallen angels that are subject under him, are always behind temptation. Now, who is the devil? The Greek word that is used here is diabolos. Diabolos. And what it means in the Greek is an accuser, a slanderer, a false accuser. Now, it's interesting that later in Revelation, the devil is described as the accuser of the brethren, the accuser of those who are Christians, who are the children of God. And perhaps the prime example of this is, you remember the story of Job. In the Old Testament, Job was a very righteous man. And here's Satan. What is the word Satan? That's what we typically use the word Satan or the devil. Satan means adversary. Devil means false accuser. And the devil is both of those things. And he stands up before God and he says, "Hey, you see that guy Job there? He's not righteous. I could bring him to his knees just like that. And he'll curse you to your face. He'll deny you, God." That's what Satan does. He accuses us. He slanders us. And he tries to always stand up against us as our enemy. Now, it's very critical to recognize this fact. The devil is not a fictional being. The devil is not a mythical being. The devil is not something who just represents the forces of evil in the world, or bad things generally. Scripture presents the devil as a very real being, a very real entity. The devil is a spiritual being that was at one time an angel. And that because he lifted himself up in pride against God, the Most High God, he was sent out of heaven. And from that point, he and the other fallen angels with him have been waging war against the true God. And so the devil is always going to be opposed to God and his plan, God and his work. And we act at our very grave peril if we don't recognize that the devil is real. That's why Scripture tells us so often, walk circumspectly, walk with your head on a swivel, always looking out for his action, for his work around you. The devil is always the who of temptation. And we see this is true. What is temptation? The word tempt comes from the Greek word pirazo. pirazo. And that can have a couple different meanings in the New Testament. One thing that it can mean is to try, to examine. Now, as a lawyer, what I may be called upon to do someday is to cross-examine. What does that mean? The other side puts a witness up, and he is testifying to the other side's case. And what am I going to do? I'm going to stand up as the other side and say, okay, I'm going to try to poke holes in what he's trying to do. I'm going to try to examine and see whether there's actually truth there. Now, it's interesting, this Greek word perazo is used by Paul for Christians to say, examine yourselves, prove yourselves, test yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. Am I showing signs that I'm a Christian? Am I showing difference between me and the world? Is the Holy Spirit working in me? Now, that word, of course, he's not saying tempt yourself, entice yourself to do something wrong. He's saying test yourself. And we see then that this is actually a work of God in us. God may test us. He may bring us through the fire so that the dross that is on us as gold is burned off. And we are become more precious, more like Him. There's a sense in which God tests in this way. And yet the other meaning of the word pirazo in Greek that's used here, tempted of the devil, does not mean test, does not mean examine. It means to entice. As I explained it very simply to the children down upstairs and downstairs, I had one of them come up. I took a dum-dum from my pocket. I said, is this yours? Put it over here. I said, come take it. No one's watching. It's going to be delicious. Isn't that going to be wonderful? It means to try to entice and to lead and to draw into sin. Now, if sin is against the very nature of God, will God ever, pirazo, tempt, entice us to sin? No. Be against his very nature. James chapter 1 says, let no man say when he is tempted, pirazo, I am tempted of God. Don't ever say that, because it's not true. God is never going to entice you to do sin, because he hates sin. Why would he want one of his children to be falling into something he hates? And so he says, let no man say when I am tempted, I am tempted of God. He says, because God is not tempted with evil, and he doesn't tempt any man. No person here has ever been tempted by God into evil. And so when we understand the what is temptation, that's why we always see that the devil is the one who is doing the tempting. Now you say, well, wait a second. Doesn't it say in the Old Testament that God tempted Abraham? Ah, you're right, in that some translations, the word tempt, God did tempt Abraham. But if you go and look at what God was calling him to do, we see that it was very much like the testing that God brings into our life. The kind of something that is meant to strengthen us. If you're a weightlifter, you know exactly what this is. If you're lifting weights, I saw Kyle look up at me there. A guy has lifted a few weights in his day. If you're lifting weights and you are always lifting the same weight on the bar every time, what's going to happen? You're going to reach a period of diminishing returns. You're going to keep on benching 200 pounds or whatever it is, and you're not putting any more weight on. What do? You keep on putting a little more weight, and you do that until you can get that, and then you put on a little more weight beyond that, and then you put on a little more weight beyond that. That's kind of like the testing process that God brings. We grow and we develop in our spiritual life, and then God brings something else into our path, and he says, okay, step out a little bit farther in faith. Get out a little bit more. Trust me a little bit more. And then maybe a financial pressure comes in, and we say, okay, God, I got to trust you a little more. It's putting a little more weight on so that we trust and rely on him. God tests us like that. But if you were to take that analogy, again, do you know what the devil would do? The devil would be the one who, when you're trying to bench 100 pounds, he wants to put 350 pounds on. And suddenly you put it, whoa, and you're just pinned and you're... That's the devil's mentality. God tests us to grow our strength. The devil tempts us to make us fall, to make us trip and fall flat on our face. It's an entirely different purpose that it's being brought into. Now, you understand, you can have a tempting and a testing that are going together. If you think about it, God may bring something into your life that is intended to correct you. He brings something in that you've got an area of sin in your life. And God brings a struggle at work. God brings a financial pressure. God brings something else to say, you're not doing right here. Step out and follow me. That's a test. God's intending to draw you to himself. And the devil might be in that same spot at that same time with you saying, don't trust God. Don't you see he's failing you right now? Things aren't going well. Don't believe him. The Bible is ridiculous. Don't listen to that. Hath God really said that? No, come on with me. And so you can see how a temptation and a testing might come at the same time, and yet the purpose of God and the purpose of the devil are diametrically opposed to each other. So you see the devil is always the tempter. What? Because temptation is always an enticement into sin. It's a drawing toward sin. And third, then, let's see a how. How are we tempted? The devil, as my dad always used to say, is a matchmaker. What's a matchmaker? A matchmaker is when single lonely person A wants to meet single lonely person B and live happily ever after. And so they go to a matchmaker and they say, matchmaker, matchmaker, make me a match. And they say, all right, find me someone. You know, in some cultures, this matchmaker thing is taken extremely seriously. Where a marriage, someone goes to them and they look for the person who has all the right traits, all the right characteristics, all the right upbringing, and then suddenly, okay, here it is, you guys are together, and sure enough, they'll go and get married. They marry up two people. How's the devil a matchmaker? The devil is a matchmaker because he's watching you, and he's trying to discern and figure out your characteristics, where you're strong, where you're weak, where you're likely to stumble, where you're likely to trip. And then his goal is to try to bring alongside that exactly what you need to trip and to fall. He is the one who is putting the little bar right under your foot so you can trip. He's the one who, when you're not looking, is coming up behind you and hoping you're going to trip and stumble. And the devil is always looking to match those two things. Where's your weakness? That's where you're going to go. Now, James, turn over to James 1, if you will, because we see something very interesting here that's right in accord with this idea. James chapter 1 and verse 13. Look what Scripture says here. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. Now look at verse 14. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Huh. So in other words, what the devil is doing is, he is matching up the lusts that dwell in your heart right now, and he is enticing you with those lusts. He knows that maybe you have a weakness in some gluttony, maybe in some kind of lust, maybe in some kind of covetousness, maybe in some kind of pride. And he is recognizing that lust in you, and he's saying, come on, come on, take this step. Go ahead and satisfy your lust. It'll be so perfect. Have you ever noticed in your life when you're trying to resist sin, there may be an opportunity when you're feeling a weakness in a certain sin that it always seems like an opportunity to fulfill that sin just happens to pop up and materialize? You're feeling, you're struggling with an area of lust, and suddenly, wow, just out of the blue, something pops up that allows you to fulfill that lust. You're struggling with doubt or with fear, and sure enough, something suddenly comes along that just, you just fall headlong into fear. The work of the devil is to match up your lusts with an opportunity to fulfill those lusts. And we're going to see over the next 3 weeks how he tried to do this with Jesus. He tried to take where Jesus was in at the moment and match that up with an opportunity to trip and to stumble. And we're going to be able to see how Jesus resisted that and how that is the same for us. So first of all, characteristics of temptation. The who? The devil. Always the devil. Never God. What? An enticement into sin. And how? By matching up the lusts that are within us with opportunity. opportunities to fulfill those. Now, can I just say one thing here? Do you know that if you went around this room and talked to every single person very candidly, very privately about the temptations that they face, there would really, in a sense, be no two people alike? Some person here may struggle with, say, fear, doubt. Some other person here might say, I've never struggled with fear. I'm not a fearful person. I don't understand that. Some of you might say, man, I just really struggle with covetousness. I've always had if something's around that I can steal, there's just that drive in me to do it. Other people say, I honestly can't say I've ever really been tempted to steal anything. Another of you might say,
I can say I've never been tempted, nor can I be, if I understand it right, I can never be tempted with the lust of the eye.
That's all. That's
and it's true.
We'll look at that in a couple weeks. We'll see if you're still hold that position, Johnny, when we look a little more at the lust of the eyes. But so anyway, someone might say, you know what? I'm just tempted to lie. Lies come very easily out of my mouth. It's just something to deceive, and if I think I'm in trouble for something, I'm just going to lie. Other of you might say, I've never really been tempted that much to lie. But the point is, all of us are tempted in different ways, and the devil is always trying to match up our specific temptations to abilities, to opportunities to fulfill those. So first of all, we see the characteristics of temptation. Secondly, let's see the certainties of temptation. The certainties. There are a few certainties of temptation that we can always recognize, that we can say are always going to be present. Let's understand, first of all, an entry into temptation is a certainty. There is not a single person here that can say, I've never been tempted by the devil. There's not a person here that can say, I won't be tempted by the devil. Because the devil and his demons are in constant opposition to God. And they are in constant opposition to the people of God. And so it is when someone stands up and says, I am Christ's. I'm a child of God through no merit of my own. It's putting a massive target on your chest. My dad always loved the old Far Side cartoon that had the deer standing up, and he had round red concentric circles, and one of the other deer says, man, that's a bummer of a birthmark, right? The target right on his chest. And so it is when a person stands up to identify with Jesus Christ, the devil's big target goes right on that person. You know, we've seen it in this church. When it seems like in many cases when a person has been baptized in this church, when they stand up, maybe from this community, they stand up to say, I'm identifying with Jesus Christ, and I'm going to fight against the devil. It seems like that person almost always falls into serious temptation, and sometimes is even fallen because of that. You know, that's why in the early church, what they would tell people who were training to get baptized, about to get baptized and identify with Christ, is to say, you need to know what it means to fight the devil. You need to know what it means to resist him and not give in to him, because he's going to come after you. He's going to gun for you when you identify with Jesus Christ. People who were living lives of just emptiness in Christianity, identifying with Christ but not really doing much for him, they're living in just sloth maybe. Then suddenly God starts to get a hold of their heart. They start to get revived. They start to be more faithful in church, more faithful reading the Word of God. Sometimes what do they see? Temptation. The devil's just coming at them and battling them and fighting them. Why? Because they're starting to do something that threatens him. When you're just a Christian who's living carnally, you're a Christian who's just living for yourself, it's like the devil's like, okay, that's fine. Go ahead and keep on. You're not doing any damage to me. But man, that person who is taking the battle to the devil and is threatening his forces and is working on behalf of God against the devil and his demons, man, you better believe that person is going to get some temptation. Every single person will enter into temptation. Secondly, let's understand the experience of temptation is also a certainty. Turn over, if you will, to 1 Corinthians in chapter 10. 1 Corinthians in chapter 10. This passage is such a wonderful comfort and a wonderful principle that we learn from it. Look at verse 13. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. What does that mean? There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. That tells me this. You have never faced a temptation that other people aren't facing. You have never faced a temptation that is either different in scope or different in kind than someone else is facing. When you're struggling with fear, when the devil is assaulting you with fear, someone else is being assaulted with fear too. When the devil assaults you with lust, or the devil assaults you with something to go and take something that God says don't take, there's someone else that's going through the same temptation. And whether it's greed, whether it's pride, whether it's covet, whatever it is, we know that someone else is going through the same thing, because there is no temptation taking you, but it's common to mankind. You know what the devil wants to try to convince you? That you've got it so much worse than everyone else. There's no one like you who's going through this kind of thing right now. But that's not true. I'm going through temptations that some of you are going through. You're going through temptations that someone else in this room is going through. You're going through a temptation that is exactly like someone went through 1,000 years ago when he was identifying for Christ. Whatever it is, there's no temptation but is common to mankind. You can't find one that you're going through that someone else hasn't gone through. And third, keep your finger at this verse, because we're going to talk about the certainty of an exit route. I love this passage here. Take a look at verse 13 of 1 Corinthians 10. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. What does that mean? It means this. God is sovereign even in your temptations. God is in control even of your temptations. The devil's coming at you. The devil's bringing his body blows. He's trying to bring the ground and pound you, get you down on your face, and just start bashing your face in. And do you know what God? God's never the author of that. God's not saying, hey, I'm going to entice you to sin. In fact, God is standing above Satan and saying, don't you dare take him where he can't resist. Don't you take him where he is not going to be able to withstand you through my power. God is above and sovereign over your temptations. Do never say, I couldn't help it. Never say, it was too strong for me. Never say, hey, I tried. I couldn't resist. I couldn't stop it. Why? Because God always makes a way to escape. In every single temptation, God gives you a way to be beyond it. You remember in the story of Job, the devil went to God and says, hey, I'm going to make him doubt you. I'm going to make him deny you. God says, okay, but don't take his life. God was sovereign even in all the temptations that Satan brings. And we can never say, I had no chance. I had to fall. You didn't. You can have victory in every temptation, because God makes a way to escape. I heard this analogy. I think it's really a really good one. If you've ever been in a mountainous area, and you see, you know, a lot of times going down the mountain, they'll have kind of a circular path like this going down, so as not just to be a straight away where you're sitting on your brakes the whole time and you're going wrapping around. What do they have coming down that mountain as little off routes, exit routes? If you've ever seen, you'll be going down a mountain and suddenly there'll be an unpaved, kind of rocky or jutted path that goes straight up the mountain like this. What is that for? Why does that do that? It's an emergency stop. It's for the semi whose brakes overheat can't be stopped. And if they didn't have anywhere to go, they'd be going until they careened out of control down the mountain. And so what does that driver do? The driver's going down. He realizes his brakes aren't working. And he says, here I am. And he goes right up that hill and stops. That is like God's way of escape. We're going down that hill of temptation. We're going down, we're feeling that lust stirring in us. We're feeling that desire that we know is wrong. We're seeing that problem that is jumping up before us. And suddenly it's like the Spirit of God says, there's your exit. Take it. There it is. You can stop. There's the way of escape. Now, sadly, sometimes we go right past that. We blow right by the exit, and then we fall. But remember that in every temptation, God has made a way of escape. That means you can never say, I didn't have a chance. I didn't have a choice. That lust that I fell into, I had to. No, you didn't. God never allows you to be tempted beyond that you're able to resist. So first of all, the characteristics of temptation. Secondly, the certainties of temptation. And third, let's understand the counteraction of temptation. What is our response to temptation? Now, we're going to study this in the next 3 weeks as we go through the temptations that Jesus was facing. But what does it mean for us to resist temptation? What does it mean for us to counteract temptation? And for purposes of time, we'll just go through them quickly here. First of all, flee. Second, focus. Third, fight. First of all, flee. Paul gives some wonderful advice to one of the ones he was mentoring in the faith, a young man named Timothy. He says, flee youthful lusts. Run away from them. Do you know it doesn't show your strength, how powerful you are spiritually, to put yourself in temptation's way and then say, oh man, I'm going to show the devil. I'm going to let this temptation get right here, and then I'm just going to stand up and I'm going to emerge victorious. You know, I almost thought about this. There was a particular sin that I had been falling into, and I was thinking, well, I've been getting victory, but that's kind of just because I've been trying to stay away from that. And it was like, well, yeah, that's what you should be doing. You don't put yourself in temptation's way just to prove that you're strong enough. No, you know where your temptations are, and you say, I'm not even going anywhere near that. I'm running, like Joseph did, as we talked a few weeks ago, when that woman, that the Potiphar's wife, was trying to seduce him to be with her physically and to commit adultery with her. And what did Joseph do? He ran. Don't think it's cowardice to run away from temptation. It's exactly what God wants you to do. Do all you can to stay away from falling into temptation. Isn't it interesting that Jesus was led of the Spirit to be tempted of the devil? And what did he say to his disciples to pray to their father? Lead me not into temptation. Because he knew what that was. He says, pray, don't lead me there. Run away from it. Flee from temptation. That's critical. Secondly, what happens when temptation comes against you, even when you've done everything in your power to stay away from it? That's going to happen, by the way. You're all going to be tempted. What do you do? Well, if you remember what we said in Hebrews chapter 4, remember this memory verse here. Jesus was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. And what does the verse say that comes directly after that? Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace. God is on his throne in heaven, and Jesus is at his right hand interceding with us before the Father. Do you know what that means when we have a high priest who is tempted just like we are? That means when you're tempted with lust, you know that Jesus was tempted with lust. And you say, you go to God and you say, hey, God, I need your help in this. I'm tempted and you know what that's like. You had victory. I can have victory through your power too. Give me that victory now. When it comes up, when you're struggling with pride or covetousness or these things, you can go to Jesus and say, help me. I need to go to the throne of grace right now because you were tempted like I am. And what a wonderful thing in the midst of temptation when we focus on the one who came to give us victory because he experienced that victory. This is an important point to make here. Do you know that temptation is not sin? How do we know that? Because Jesus had no sin, but he was tempted. When the devil is speaking at you and saying, hey, go steal, go lust, go fall into this, that's not sin. What's sin is when you say, okay, I will. No, remember, temptation can be resisted, and it can be resisted through the strength of our Lord Jesus Christ. Finally, fight. What happens when you've attempted to flee temptation as best you can? What happens when you're focusing on Jesus and his power? Third, you got to fight. There are going to be times when everything inside you is saying, fall into that lust. Do this thing that your body wants to do, that your flesh wants to fall into. And it's at that point that you're going to fight. I love what Ephesians 6 is. For purposes of time, we won't turn there. But Paul says to the Ephesians, he says, take the shield of faith, that with that shield you're going to be able to quench every fiery dart of the wicked one. It's like the devil's throwing fiery darts at you. He's throwing these red hot flaming darts, arrows right at your heart. And the Bible says, put up your shield of faith. You say, the devil says, hath God said? You say, yes, he said. I believe him. The devil says, oh, you don't need to listen. There's no one watching. You put up your shield of faith and says, God is. He's watching me right now. The devil says, it's not worth resisting that. You put up your shield and say, yes, it is. Scripture says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. And I want to see God, so I'm not going to give in to this temptation right now. You got to fight. And it takes warfare. It takes battle to beat back the devil. The shield of faith. And it is faith that overcomes the world. It's our faith that conquers and prevails. Oh, as we're here today, Temptation 101, we'll have 3 more weeks to look at these temptations that Jesus went through, but understand the characteristics. It's always the devil. He's always seeking to entice you and draw you into sin, and he's doing it by matching your lusts with opportunities to fulfill those lusts. The certainties is that every single one of you are going to fall into temptation, that every single one of you are going to be tempted, and you're going to be tempted with common temptations to mankind. And then remember, if you're going to counteract it, first, avoid it at all costs. Seek to stay away from it and keep as far away from temptation as you can. But then when you fall into it, focus and fight. And may God give us that victory, and may we be living lives of victory in our day-to-day lives. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this lesson on temptation. Thank you that you are one who suffered in all points like as we did, but without sin. And Lord, I pray that you would bless this lesson. I pray that each one of us would see the work of the devil and resist that work, knowing that if we resist the devil, he will flee from us. Father, I pray that you would be with our morning service now. I pray that if there's anyone here who doesn't know Jesus Christ as Savior, that today would be the day of salvation. Today would be the day they trust him for eternal life. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You're dismissed. We'll see you next door.